us pray prayer together on our knees. Let us pray prayer together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, oh Lord, have mercy.
Welcome to The Bible Speaks with Elgin Kerlock. The Bible Speaks is a weekly ministry of Harvest International. Our prayer is that The Bible Speaks will encourage you in your study of God's Word. You will be able to contact Elgin at the address given at the end of this broadcast. And now, here's Elgin.
Brothers and sisters, I welcome you in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus the Christ, to another edition of The Bible Speaks. And today we are privileged to have Dr. Ovidia Rulak with us, who is a theologian, scholar, apostle, businesswoman, inspirational speaker, and just all-around woman of God, to join me in a discussion about the ingredients of an effective prayer. And we hear that we should pray without ceasing. And there are many ways that we can do that, but what I want to talk about is, what are the components? Are there things that should be in our prayer, or should it always sound like, I won't, I won't, I won't? So I'm going to give you 10 things that I have found in my research that are part of the prayer, but we're just going to discuss one today. But those 10 things, for those of you who are note takers, one of my pastors that I like listen to says note takers are move makers. And so for those of you who'd like to take notes, the 10 are faith, sincerity and humility, alignment with God's will, thankfulness, persistence, repentance and confession, compassion and intercession, listening, obedience, and the name of Jesus. But today, we're going to talk about confession. Confession in the context of Christian faith extends beyond the mere acknowledgement of sin. It encompasses agreeing with what God declares in His Word about our sin, His righteousness, and His provisions for our redemption. By confessing our sins, we're saying that we agree with God about the nature of sin and its consequences. God's word reveals that sin separates us from Him in Isaiah 59, verse 2, and that the wages of sin is death, Romans 6, verse 23. But it also proclaims the good news of forgiveness and life through Jesus Christ, found in 1 John 1, verse 9, and John 3, verse 16. The importance of confession in prayer is understood in several scriptural passages. And as I mentioned, the 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 states, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. James 5:16 also encourages believers to confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. These verses highlight confession as integral to experiencing God's forgiveness, purification, and healing. This was a great revelation to me because I had always considered confession as just admitting what I did and not setting the foundation of the relationship by acknowledging God is right, and I agree. And my confession is me stating that agreement. I also realize that it's reinforced in our Romans 10:9, because it starts off, if we confess, which now I consider as agreeing that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection was the key to my salvation, not just that I believed, but I agree with it. And so anything that I do that's contrary to that, now confession becomes an acknowledgement of that, and all that comes with that. So with that introduction, I will invite Dr. O to join in the conversation, and just are waiting with great anticipation.
Well, thank you, Brother Elgin, for the invite today. And as I was listening to you, since we're talking about confession, and it is beyond just acknowledging, it is becoming a conscious, in other words, being mindful of the things that I'm doing is wrong according to the word of God. And that is so important, because if we never be conscious of it, we will never see a need not only to confess that sin openly, but to repent of that sin. Oftentimes, we confess it and think that's it. Well, I'm acknowledging it. I'm conscious of the wrong that I've done. But now, will you turn from it?
And does that also apply when we think about in James 5 and 16, it says, confess our sins to one another. And it's not necessarily, at least in my interpretation, that I need people all up in my business. But if I'm purporting to them that I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and the word says that I shouldn't do this, that, or the other, if I do and they see me, or if they don't see me, I should have the humility and comfort enough to admit that, you know what, I struggle with that too. Or the word says that I shouldn't do that, but just as Paul said, the good that I would, that I do not. Okay, but how much more does iron sharpen iron when we are humble enough to confess to one another?
That is truly that humbling. Most time, the spirit of pride would not allow us to acknowledge again, consciously be aware, and then to acknowledge it outside of myself to someone. It is a humbling experience, and it helps us, because when I think about 1 John 1:9, it says, if, that's conditional.
Yes.
God has given us the choice in that matter to confess, to acknowledge, to come to be enlightened that that which I am doing is wrong. And the condition is, once I acknowledge and be aware of it, make that change, then God comes in and say he's faithful and he's just, he's going to deal with that sin according to his will and deliver me and bring me into all righteousness.
Yes. Yes. And it doesn't mean that there won't be consequences either.
Exactly. There are consequences to our sin. He said the wages of sin is death. And that's why it's so important that once we acknowledge it, we don't stay in the acknowledgement stage. Once we confess it, we need to come beyond that and go into that change, that there be a renewal of the mind. And it has to come. That's where the change takes place, in the renewal of the mind. Being able to, okay, I acknowledge this. Yes, I'm stating I acknowledge it. But the change, there has to be a transformation from within that will show on the outside.
And it seems that that then changes the tone of the prayer. Because now that I have that acknowledgement and I have that humbleness to place it all out there, it's not like God doesn't know, right? But he wants to say it. He wants you to say it. Because if I'm in agreement with his word, he says his word doesn't return to him void. Okay? So when I pray and I pray his word, then he is bound to fulfill it, right? Because God is not a man that he should lie, right? He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't change. And so if I'm saying to him that I agree that what I did was wrong, and Father, I want you to help me create a clean heart and really have contrition, then the tone of our prayers changes. It goes from me, 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 I need this, give me that, to Father, order my steps, direct my path, be a light unto my footpath, and not so much about the things that we get so caught up with here on earth,
And that's so true. You've said so much. I'm trying to keep my mind wrapped around all that you're saying that I could come back and say something too. But when we start talking about, you started talking about confessing our sins one to the other, I think it's always good to do that. And the reason why, it calls us to have accountability. And the accountability comes is I'm saying to you that I have done this that's in a disagreement to what the word of God says. So now that I'm acknowledging to you, I have someone that can hold me accountable to my place of repentance, making that thing change and turn around so that I don't continue doing that. And I think that's good when we can confess it. As you stated, no, you can't tell everybody your business because everybody's not going to hear it and everybody's not going to go for your walk. See that? I'm going to walk in the healing and deliverance from that. So it is important that when we do that, and then when we are able to do that, acknowledge that. You talked about how God's word, you're right. When we pray the word of God, he said in Isaiah 55:11, that my word would not go out and return void. It will do that which he pleases to do and prosper where he would have to prosper, which takes me back to the St. John 6:55, somewhere up in there where it talks about his word is spirit. So when we speak the word, when we pray the word, we're putting his word on an assignment.
Yes.
That it's going to go do that which he said it would do. And then he turned around and he says what? He says, I watch over my word to perform it. That's in right. Other words, when he say, I guard my word, I watch over it. It will manifest. It will do that which I have ordained and purposed it to do.
And it's when a last conversation that you and I had, we talked about not only his following the word or speaking to him in his word, but understanding that when we are on the same accord, when we agree with what God says, then he will give us the desire of our hearts.
As we delight ourselves in him. Exactly.
Right.
He will grant us. Why? Because I'm in his will. I'm fulfilling his purpose and I'm obeying the plan that he has for me, not mine, but his. So definitely, as I delight myself in him, he will. I always say that word will means he's obligated to, because that's I right. am obedient to that which he's stating I should do. And therefore, I can expect in his timing the manifestation of what he said or what he promised.
And isn't that really what he means by he is faithful? That's what James means, because he's faithful to his word.
Yes, he is.
And if we align with his word and we agree with his word or confess, right, then he is obligated because it's his word. And you know, it is wonderful if you think about it from our human terms. It's almost like God's the manufacturer and we're the product, right? So when he put that stamp on us and sent us to earth, he has expectations. All right. And through those expectations, as we better understand who God is, what his expectations are, how we bring him glory through the gifts that he's given us when we pray, if that is the context, then it's totally different than maybe the way we were taught to pray. I was thinking about my younger brother when he was a little baby, little the guy, and he used to say, "Now I lay me down. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." And then he'd say, "Thank you, Jesus." Okay. Some of us, it's not that we don't know the Lord's prayer, as it is the way that we see prayer is as simple as he saw it, right? That he knew that God's going to lay him down. And if he gets up in the morning, you know, "Thank you, Jesus." And that's all he has. But we have prayer and we treat prayer like it's, you know, the word cautions us against vain repetition, right? And sometimes it's just that. It's just a routine that we don't really understand that it's a line of communication. But that line of communication begins with us agreeing.
And how can two walk together except they be agreed with each other? And that word agreement also means coming into fellowship with. coming into fellowship with. So this is what God's word does. He, as we pray, as we make our requests known, it is a dialogue and not a monologue.
That's right.
In that dialogue, you know, oftentimes we're so busy going to God, what I want, what I want, what I want, what I want. But do we stop as a part of the opening of our prayer, just praise and adoration? Do we acknowledge him for who he is? Not just for what he can give us.
Yes.
For who he is, you know, that he is that great Jehovah Elohim, the yes. Lord God eternal, the one who was, who is, and yet to come. He is that great Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God our provider, that each and every need will be met, acknowledging who he is. And once we are able to acknowledge him, then we talk about, I talk about praise first, praising him. And then we talk about the priorities. Lord, let thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Lord, I'm saying nevertheless, not my will, God, yes. but let your will. What are your plans? What are your purpose for me? I'm seeking your guidance and your direction for that. So I got my praise. I got my priorities. And thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. So we have to understand in reaching that place of a fervent, effectual prayer. And as I begin to think about that word, effectual, to be operative.
Yes.
To put forth power. And the only way, not, and I say this to people all the time, not that our prayers are not effective, but I do believe there is a difference when I pray his word.
Yes.
I do believe that, because if his word says, as we've already stated, his word is not going to go out and return void. If his word say that he guards his word to manifest it, to bring it to life, to make it be real. So then I got to believe that, no, I can't say you're not praying right. But I do believe there is a way that we could pray effectively.
Yes.
And that is by praying the word of God. And I encourage people all the time, what situation are you going through in life? And if you're praying about it, go seek scriptures in the word, that those scriptures, and begin to pray those scriptures concerning your situation.
That's right. That's right. And so in this context, you know, confession again becomes the agreement that you recognize that God's way is better. You recognize the fact that he has plans for your life. It says, for those who are called according to his purpose. And I mentioned that in the discussion that Dr. O and I were having before, that said that rang in my ears, that when it says that you were called, you weren't born, you were called. And if you agree with that, then you understand that the expectation that he has for you to bring him glory is all about the relationship you have with him and the relationships you have with others. And through that, we are able to change every scenario we come into. You know, I heard the pastor say the other day, when you walk in the room, something come in. What came in with you? That was awesome.
Amen.
and so I want us to really consider the role of confession as that just simply engenders a posture of humility and dependence on God. That we aren't able to attain righteousness on our own. And without his grace and forgiveness, we're doomed. And with that, I would like Dr. O to close us out in prayer. And I just want to say to everyone else, for the remainder of the week, I'm going to address those 10 items that I mentioned as ingredients of effective prayer. And we'll go through it again. And we certainly hope that Dr. O will certainly come back and just have more discussion with us, because we fully understand that in order for you to accomplish the purpose that God called you here for, you have to understand how. Yeah.
Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank and praise you for this opportunity to gather together one more time in your name. We thank and praise you, Father God, for each and every listener. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray right now that you bind the spirit of dull hearing. Anoint our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking unto us in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we pray right now that each and every need is being met according to your riches and glory. We thank you today and we praise you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you're moving right now, God, upon every request, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We pray right now, God, that as we come before you, Lord God, you said if we confess our sins, God, that you are faithful and you are just and you will, Father God, oh God, heal and deliver and turn all things, Lord God, and bring in forth righteousness in the name of Jesus. And we thank you today, Father God, for your word, Lord God, for you watch over your word to perform it. We thank you, Father God, that as your word go forth, it will not go out and return void. It will do that which you please it to do and prosper where we'd have it to prosper. We thank and praise you, Lord God, for this opportunity, Lord God. Bless, strengthen, and heal, God, in the name of Jesus. And we're careful today to give you the praise, to give you the glory and the honor. And Father God, as this word go forth, and go forth as your client win in the realm of the spirit, destroying and conquering enemies camp, thanking and praise you, Father God, that this prayer, all future prayers, take on the characteristic of a divine projectile in the realm of the spirit, hitting the bullseye every time. Every spiritual warfare strategy and tactic is binding by the word, by the blood of Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Every spirit released from his diabolical assignment has become a part of your footstool. Father, we seal this prayer in the name of Jesus and covered in the blood of Jesus, and we're careful to give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
We do pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
I've wandered far away from God.
This program is cared for by listeners who care. Your prayers and financial investment in this ministry helps to keep the good news on the air. We look forward to hearing from you and invite you to write us at Harvest International, Post Office Box 6690, Ocala, Florida 34478. Again, that's Harvest International, Post Office Box 6690, Ocala, Florida 34478.